Good morning. Take a moment and center within yourself. Stand a little to one side, a witness. Truth cannot take place in the mind. It must take place in your soul. And the soul is not something that you move. The soul is something that moves you. So stand aside. Be a witness. Be receptive to your own soul. We are looking at this marvelous book, Man Was Not Born to Cry, by Joel Goldsmith. We are on the 11th chapter, Breaking the Bonds of Humanhood. There is one more chapter, and when we complete that chapter, we will have completed this series of talks. Now let us enter into Breaking the Bonds of Humanhood. You know, when we started this series, I said that I wasn't sure why, but I felt nudged to do a series on this book. Now, being near the completion, I understand why. Years ago, I thought this book was pretty simple. Why, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. I put it aside as not a very deep. Shows you what I knew. I'm convinced that this little book, if followed, if practiced, will lift you out of humanhood into your Christhood. And that's what this whole book is about, making the transition from a human sense of self to that place where you stand in your Christhood. And now, let us begin. Says Joel, the goal of all spiritual work is God realization. And remember, realization is that which you sense and know and feel in your soul. Realization never takes place in the mind. The goal of all spiritual work is God realization, arriving at a place where we are consciously aware that we are not living our own life. Something, a transcendental presence, has taken over. Now that proves the point I was making earlier. The goal is that you become consciously aware that there is something living your life. That something being Christ. This is the most difficult part of our journey because it involves releasing every concept of God acquired throughout our lifetime. Since God realization cannot take place in your mind, all concepts of God must go. You cannot be consciously aware of Christ, of this transcendental presence living your life, with your intellect. With the human mind, you cannot be aware. Awareness is not a faculty of the human mind. But, or however, when the human mind is still, then awareness takes over. Or you might say, when the human mind is silent, the soul takes over. You can be aware of the Christ, that transcendental presence, only while standing in your soul. Conscious awareness of the living presence of God. Conscious awareness is a faculty of your soul. It's a soul faculty. We are going from the mind to the soul, from the letter to the spirit, from a sense of a personal life to Christ and the realization of oneness with the Father. And so he says here, it is useless to try to know God and to know what he is through the mind. In order to be known, God has to be experienced. He cannot be known with the mind. And so you see, those of us that have approached truth with the mind, maybe in the beginning we memorized certain truths, certain scriptures, certain statements. Maybe we affirmed them after we memorized them. We affirmed them throughout the day and night. All of that is in the mind. It is not conscious awareness. Which is why I stress over and over and over again, saying a scripture to yourself or quoting truth in the mind is not the same thing as conscious awareness, because you're still in the mind. You must come out of her. Come out of the mind. Stand in the soul. This is where conscious awareness comes. This is where realization happens. And this is where God is known. You see, the mind, which is entertaining or feeling a separate sense of existence, there's me, the little me, and I'm going to God. Or the little me practicing these principles in order that I may have supply or companionship or health or home. That personal sense of self is a universal sense of a personal self. It's a universal sense. It doesn't even belong to you. That personal sense of self, which you thought you were, is a universal thought. It belongs to no one. No one. And so the mind that is trying to know truth, trying to affirm truth, the personal sense of self trying to affirm truth, is world mind. We said last week, can world mind pray? I don't think so. Not successfully. Well, it can pray to a lot of concepts and idols in the mind. But you see, he starts here at the very first page of this chapter telling us this is the most difficult part of our journey because it involves releasing every concept of God acquired throughout our lifetime. And that also means concepts acquired after studying truth, which is why the affirmations and denials and prayers uttered to these concepts don't work. Remember now, we are moving from humanhood to Christhood. We are moving from mind to soul. And so, this thought, this mind, this universal sense of a personal self, this is the Adam dream. This is the mind that cannot know God. This mind can only dream. All of its prayers are a dream. Concepts of God, dream. You cannot stand in that dream and have God realization. You cannot stand in that dream and have conscious awareness of the living transcendental presence. You can't have the conscious awareness of the transcendental presence if you're standing in a dream presence. So you see, it's vitally important that we know right up front we've got to leave that mind behind. Now, that doesn't mean we will be mindless, as the Buddhists like to call it, because we will have that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. We're going to put off the mortal mind. We're going to exchange it for the soul's awareness. And they're very different. The soul's awareness transforms, uplifts, heals, dissolves, and supplies. And the mind plays with all these little dream concepts and dreams away. And so Joel is telling us, this is the most difficult part of our journey now, because we're moving from humanhood to Christhood. We're moving out of the Adam dream mind into the soul's conscious awareness. He says, when we know the nature of God, we become relaxed in our whole mind, never making a mental effort to reach out to God, and never becoming tense, waiting for Him. A weight drops from our shoulders. Do you see? Anything that has in it a sense of getting, a sense of striving, a sense for searching, a sense for tensely waiting, this is all the universal sense of self. It's not a self. It's a dream. And you cannot reach God through it or with it. The time has come for everybody hearing these talks, especially if you've been with us the last 5 years and you've come through the Kai Lua study series. It's time to really make the transition from humanhood to Christhood. How many years are you going to wait? How long will you convince yourself that because you know some truth statements in a dream mind, that you are somehow getting closer to God? The whole concept of getting closer to God is a dream. You are God. God is your individual soul. God expresses as individual soul. Come out of the dream. Stand in your inner soul awareness and become aware of the I. So, you know, it bothered me for a long time. I asked myself in meditation, in contemplation, this mind that is dreaming, who has this mind? Where is this mind? I tried to pin it down and get a sense of who has this mind. And you know what came to me? Father, who has this mind that is dreaming? And the answer came, no one. Well, where is this mind, Father? And the answer, nowhere. Now, this standing in an imaginary mind, living an imaginary sense of self, we come under an imaginary law called karmic law. Because the imaginary dream world has both good and evil. And Joel says, there's no way to sin and to escape punishment because they are one. We might say, there's no way to do good, you know, to be a human do-gooder and escape punishment because they are also one. A friend of mine put it this way, you cannot do good on that level without creating evil. What would be a good example? How about setting all the African-American people free during the Civil War and then discovering that they had no means to provide for themselves? Well, it sure seemed like a good idea, but now where do we put them all? Some senators thought that they should put them on a boat and take them back to Africa. But one thing was certain. Everyone was set free. But many had no way to live, no way to eat. So by doing good, they created evil. How about the government in the USSR that believed that everyone should be equal, everyone should share. They called it communism. It seemed like a good idea. Everybody would have the same amount. But then what about the people that were producing more than others? What about the people that excelled? Didn't that drag them down and pull them down to sort of say, well, what's the use? The government takes everything I make anyway. I might as well just be mediocre, average, like everyone else, since we're all going to get the same amount. And so by doing good on a human level, we create evil. This friend of mine was right. In that dream world, you cannot have one without the other. And they're constantly swinging back and forth. And so Joel says, there is no way to sin and to escape punishment because they are one. There's no way to do good and not create evil. And if you look at it, sometimes you do evil and create good. What do you mean? How can that be? Well, we'll just take an example of the Second World War. You could say that Mr. Adolf Hitler was doing evil. You could say that. But then look at all the good he created. All the people that went over there and were heroes, and valiant, and rescued the French. Or helped the Russians, or set the Germans themselves free. Those were good things. You see how the two are so intertwined, you can't have one without the other. And so if you entertain a universal, if you live in a universal sense of a self, in that dream atom mind, that atom dream mind, when you do good, it creates evil. When you do evil, it creates good. And you live in a world of opposites, and you suffer from karmic law. But now what happens as you move out of that and into your Christhood? Well, when we realize, says Joel, we of ourselves are doing neither good nor evil, we break the karmic law. We are a transparency, an instrument for God's goodness. We realize I am but the transparency through which God appears. I am the instrument through which God's grace is flowing. We are just the spiritual offspring of God, and that is being neither good nor evil. That is being perfect. And so you are either living in a personal sense of life, doing good some days, doing evil other days, all of it taking place in a mind that exists nowhere, or you come up into your Christhood, where you realize you are none of that. You are simply a witness. You're bearing witness to God. Now, as you stand in that Christhood, which bears witness to the Father's movement, you have the conscious awareness of the transcendental presence of God. And God has no karma, I guarantee you. So, he's going to tell us here first that, well, he's going to move back into our principle, which he's repeated in several of these chapters, which is the principle of standing in your Christhood and pouring out. And he must feel it's really important because he says it over and over again. But anyway, the spiritual life is an act of grace. Father, all that you are, I am. All that you have is mind. This is the attainment of the mind that was also in Christ Jesus. It is brought about primarily through our own efforts, with, of course, the understanding that we could not be making the effort but for the grace of God. It is not possible for anyone to choose this life. And no one reading this book, or no one hearing this talk, no one is reading this book by virtue of his own will. It is because of a propulsion, a direction, a leading that has come from a source greater than the individual himself. And he says, there are few who devote hours to the purpose, to this purpose, because there is within them a something carrying them further and further along the spiritual path. Now, if you are hearing this and getting it, if you're beginning to sense the difference between a universal Adam dream life, dream mind, and the soul's conscious awareness of a transcendental presence, then you are one of these which he is talking about, one that has been moved by the grace of God to make this transition. You are going to transition into Christhood. Now, as you begin to make that transition, several things happen to you, and he's going to tell you so that you can sort of use it as a signpost as to where you are. He's talking about degrees, and he says in the first degree, you're thinking about yourself. How can I have a healing? The first degree on the spiritual path. How can I increase my supply? Where's my companion? How do I practice these spiritual principles so I can be happy, healthy, and wise? But, he says, as the entire emphasis begins to shift from himself to others, he's no longer concerned about what he can get. And that's the beginning of the second stage. You start thinking about, how can I pour? And eventually, he says, there's a place in consciousness where you begin to think in terms of the particular message and how it can help the world. Now, your thought centers on how you can give of yourself, how you can serve, how you can devote yourself unselfishly to a spiritual work. Universal consciousness is being tapped. And this is the third stage. And so if you are coming to this message to see how you can demonstrate better health, better supply, better companionship, there's nothing wrong with that. That's where you are. And it's okay. If you've been around a little while, you're starting to get this principle of, gee, I need to pour out. But there's a higher place than that, and that's what we're going to discuss. He says, in the human scene, and that is in that dream mind, the struggle for existence is intense. The struggle to make an adequate livelihood, to meet one's bills on time, and still have a little left over, or to keep one's business solvent. And you know, I wrote here in the margin, this is how you know if you are living in the human scene. Remember, there's no God in the human scene. Why? Because the human scene is taking place in a dream mind. It's not taking place in conscious awareness. It's all taking place in these concepts. And so if you are struggling for existence, if you're struggling to make an adequate livelihood, if you're struggling to make your bills on time, or to have a little left over, or to keep your business solvent, you, my dear friend, are living in a dream mind. To those on the spiritual path, there comes a period when this struggle lessens and lessens. Life becomes more fruitful and labor less arduous. And that's how you know you're on the spiritual path and you're making, well, this transcendental presence is becoming more and more your conscious awareness. As we begin to concern ourselves less with personal problems and extend our awareness so as to embrace and include more of our neighbors, we find that our business pressures decrease, our income increases, our worries lessen, and our fears begin to be dispelled because we are being taken care of better than ever before. This is the third stage. Do you see the transformation that's taking place in this individual? The individual comes to the path because maybe they're having really bad economic times. Perhaps their spouse has left them. And perhaps they're suffering from a case of the flu. All these three things have driven them deep to ask themselves, why? Why are there problems? They pick up a book such as God, the Substance of All Form, or maybe The Infinite Way, or Living the Infinite Way, or Practicing the Presence, and they think there's a better way. There's a better way. I don't have to struggle for these things. I can get my companion from God if I just surrender. I can get my supply from God. I can get my health. Perhaps I call a practitioner. Practitioner meditates for them, and the symptoms of the flu disappear, and their income begins to increase. Maybe they start dating again. Now they're excited. These spiritual principles are working. But do you see they're still living in a universal sense of self? They don't have the conscious awareness. They have an understanding of the principles. They may be practicing the presence, practicing remembering God, throughout the day, but they're still standing in a personal sense of self. But there's nothing wrong with it. The point is that after they practice these principles, they start to add a little meditation. When their life becomes harmonious, it's functioning on all cylinders, that's the point that a choice has to be made. I'm going to stay here in this humanhood because it's so awfully comfortable, or I'm going to press forward for the high mark of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Which will it be? And usually there's another tragedy and drama that occurs that again pushes them towards, back towards the spiritual path. Then they begin to discover, oh wow, there's so much more here than I realized. I'm supposed to move totally out of a personal sense of life. Well, how did he put it at the beginning? He put it beautifully. The goal of all spiritual work, the goal of the spiritual path, is God realization. Arriving at a place where we are consciously aware that we are not living our own life. Something, a transcendental presence, has taken over. Now, the student says, whoa, okay, goodness, I spent 20 years or 10 years living the other and never knew that all this was here. Now they look at the books with fresh eyes. How do I put off mortality and put on immortality? How do I move out of that mind into conscious awareness? How do I move from the mind to the soul, from the letter to the spirit, from mortality to immortality, from humanhood to Christhood? Then if they're led to a book such as this, because it's time to make the transition. And so, they see they're going to have to come out of that universal sense of self-mind, stand in the conscious awareness, and bear witness to God pouring out through them, to Christ. God individualized, Christ pouring out through them. And so, as we begin to concern ourselves less with personal problems and extend our awareness to embrace and include more of our neighbors, we find our income increases, pressures decrease, our fears begin to be dispelled, and our worries lessen, because we are being taken care of better than ever before. This is the third stage. And we notice the miracle that has taken place in our life. Life has ceased to be a struggle. The added things come pouring in upon us, not by taking thought, nor by demonstrating them, but as the reflex action of the givingness of ourselves. And now we need to understand something. He says here on page 183, what we do not give out cannot come back. What we do give out cannot fail to return to us. We are not finite human beings. We are the life of God in individual expression, which is Christ. The secret is giving, not getting, outpouring, not withholding, selflessness, not selfishness. Now we understand, and we talked quite a bit in two chapters already, about the need to pour out, the need to give, to share, to love, to do. However, if you thought that you could stand in your in a universal sense of a personal self and pour out, well, now I have news for you. That is exactly why it hasn't worked. That's why you poured out and have less. And you started with, you remember, to him that hath it shall be given, to him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. You, if you stand in a universal personal sense of self in the Adam dream mind and pour out from that sense of self, you are pouring out the dream. And I don't care if it's dollars, if it's service, doing good for others, you're pouring out of a dream. What do you suppose you're going to reap? You're going to reap the dream. Some good, some bad. You pour out from your sense of supply. Well, let's see, I have $710 in the bank. I'm going to need about $650. I'm going to give away $50. And you do. And how nice of you. But which you just poured. Who poured that out? Was that God? Was that your conscious awareness of a transcendental presence pouring out? Aha! No, you poured out of your humanhood. And now you have $50 less than you had before. And nothing comes back, does it? Except more good and evil. You can't pour out from your humanhood. Well, you can, but you'll have less at the end than you started with. Even that which he hath shall be taken away. You have to make a transition. You must stand in the conscious awareness in your soul and bear witness as Christ pours out, or a transcendental presence pours out, God pours out, it pours out, the infinite pours out. Now, who is pouring out now? This is Christ. And whatever Christ pours out is multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Therefore, says Joel, when a person tithes with the expectation of a return, he has lost the entire benefit of tithing. And not only is there no return, but he no longer has what he has given. That's what we just said. This is why it is difficult and almost impossible to teach the law of supply to our friends, relatives, or students until such time as they give evidence that they have discovered it for themselves, that they've discovered it as Christ that pours out. There is enough in this world to give us all an infinity of supply, if only we are willing to share it. If we are willing to let it pour forth, supply is giving, sharing, outpouring, and that results in its incoming. But it cannot be a human, it cannot be a out of that mind which is standing in a personal sense of self, a separate life, pouring out. Because it won't work. It won't work. You'll have less than you started with. Why? I don't understand it. I gave $200 this month and now I can't make my car payment. Yes, which identity are you standing in? If you're standing in that human identity, I would suggest you don't pour out from that identity. And yet the principle is you must pour out, because only what you pour out will come back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. But you can't pour out from a human identity. What are you going to do? Change identities. You're going to have to come out of humanhood, out of that human mind, out of the mind that thinks, out of a universal personal sense of life, or a universal sense of a personal life. You're going to have to come into your soul, in silence, stand still. Father, what do you want to pour out? and the answer will come. It may come in your meditation. It may come in an inner prompting. It may come a day or two later when you are shown unequivocally, do this, and you know who's saying it. Pour out from your Christhood. And what is his promise here when you do that? Let us see. We find our business pressures decrease, our income increases, our worries lessen, and our fears are dispelled. What did he say over here? He talked about we realize we're being provided for better than ever before. Because we are being taken care of better than ever before. Life ceases to be a struggle. The added things come pouring in upon us. Now you see, that is standing in your Christhood. Pour out from that self, from the capital S self. Better way to put that is you can't pour, so you just stop. Stop. Stand still. Be a witness. Have the conscious awareness of the living transcendental presence of God itself pouring out through you. Then not only do all these beautiful things happen, but you have just broken karmic law forever. You have come out of the world, the dream world. You're standing in the kingdom. And you do it right here, in this form. So, says Joel, there are those who are still trying to demonstrate companionship, and they will never find a companion until they open out a way to express companionship, or open out a way by standing aside as a witness, bearing witness to the companion. When we go out into the world with the idea of giving and sharing, we will soon discover that we have as much companionship within us as God has. Now listen to this. Let us open our eyes that we may discover the infinite nature of what God has stored up in us, and then open out a way for it to flow forth into expression. What we must do is to find a way to let it flow. Let it give. Let it share. Let it express. See, it must flow, not me. When we give and share, let us be very certain that we know that all we are doing is being a transfer agent for the infinite source. Yes, give out of self. Not self. We can bring ourselves into harmony as the sons of God by the realization, I can of mine own self do nothing. I of my own self am nothing. And then let us be willing that God's grace flow through us to our faraway neighbor as well as our nearby neighbor. Let us relax in the isness of God. You see what a different way we are taking? He says, we do not force light. We let there be light. We let God's grace function for us. Let His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We relax and let. You see the transformation we're making and this book is telling us to make? You see all of this was to lead you up to the place where you come out of her. you come out of the mind, which is dreaming of concepts of God, concepts of truth, even concepts of truth, concepts of scriptures. concepts of a personal sense of self, a separate self here, there, and there, and there, and there. All of that. Then tries to pray to a concept of God to make those concepts better. We're moving out of humanhood, a universal sense of a personal self. We are stepping out of that thinking apparatus, which is no one, into a silent place, a quiet place, into the conscious awareness of a transcendental presence of Christ, God, the Father, it, the Tao, I, as it flows through, pours out, shares, gives, loves, serves. Then that self has no karma at any time. You have come out and become separate from the dream. You now have the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. That is, you are standing in the conscious awareness of your soul. All of truth takes place in your soul, never in a mind. Now we come to across the desk where he says, the goal, if we can put it that way, is dying daily. And the only spiritual progress you can make is to die to your personal human self, your ego, and all your material desires. And few there are who want to do that. And so are you one now who is finally ready to step out of humanhood into Christhood? He says, we will be good only when we have given up being good and let God be good through us. We will never be spiritual until we have given up trying to be spiritual and recognize that God is spirit. That's beautiful. See, this is not about your progress, your understanding, your realization, your effort. This is about all of that dying. This is about bearing witness to God, which glorifies itself with the glory it had with you before the world was. That is, before you created all these concepts and this separate sense of self. Before all that, there was a glory which you had with the Father. It's still yours if you will lay down this universal sense of self. Step out of the mind, come into your soul, your own soul, which is in the bosom of the Father and has the conscious awareness of God as spirit. God is a spirit, says Christ, and so are you. But you must have the conscious awareness of your spirit, not the thought about it. Joel says, there is only one reason for our discords, whether they're physical, mental, moral, or financial. That is the sense of separation, a sense of self, a sense of a life apart from God. We are trying to improve that sense of self instead of realizing that God's self is already ours, and then relaxing and letting it come into manifestation. We stand either in the Adam dream self. We ask for help, or for we stand in the conscious awareness of our living soul, which is in the image and likeness of the Spirit of God. Yes, Joel says, what I have to say is often shocking to the human mind. Of course it would be shocking to the human mind. Because that's the very mind that's a false sense of self that has to dissolve. When you realize that God constitutes your individual being, God is the life of you, the mind and the soul of you, and even your body is the temple of God, what more is there to know? You simply let it manifest itself. And that is the chapter Breaking the Bonds of Humanhood, or Coming Out of the Universal Sense of a Personal Life, out of that mind, which has no real existence, is not an identity or an entity, coming out of that, standing still in your own breathing, living soul, one with the Spirit of the Infinite, God's living Spirit manifest as your soul, and as you stand in it, in the conscious awareness of the presence which overshadows you and moves through you and pours out through you, you are Christ on earth as in heaven. And the glory of the Father shines through and through your being. And this happens first in your inner chamber, in your upper chamber, in your inner temple, in your meditation. Then it overlaps into your life with eyes wide open. Then you find more and more periods where you are dwelling in conscious awareness outside of a false mind, outside of Adam's dream. Then it begins living you. And then I and the Father are one. As in heaven, so on earth. You stand the doorway to infinity, the very presence of God itself. Always as a witness, a transparency, an instrument for the Father to flow through. So, let us make this transition from humanhood to Christhood. For that's what this book is about, and that was the intention behind it. And next week, we move into the Prince of Peace, which is your true identity. Now take a moment and be still and see if there was anything else that needed to come through. Only this. My love goes with you. You are all in consciousness, and I feel you there often. No, not individual personal senses of self, but your essence, your presence, your being. We are one in consciousness. And yes, there was something else. There was something else I needed to come through. Thank you, Father. Now look. We have all heard that little story, and sometimes we think it's kind of cute. If a tree fell in a forest and no one was there to hear it, would it make a sound? But there's some truth to that, because no, it would not make a sound. Yes, it would make a vibration, but it needs an eardrum to make a sound. And so if no one was there with a set of ears, the tree would make no sound if it fell. Now that applies to the spiritual path like this. We are all fond of saying God is omnipresent. Where is God? Everywhere. But this is not the complete statement, says Joel. The complete statement is always God is where God is realized. In other words, realization is not thought. It's not a scripture. It's not a statement. It's not an intellectual understanding of a concept. Realization is the conscious awareness, the living feeling, or feeling the living presence itself. Feeling it pass through you, even as it is right now through my leg. I feel it there. There, that is conscious awareness of the presence. Now, God is not in the human scene, Joel has told us repeatedly. And he says, he says in the infinite way, God is not in the human scene. If you realize the significance of this statement, you could lay down your life and pick it up again at will. So God is not in the human scene. That was the realization that started his search, he says. So it's not true God is everywhere. That's not true. If you're relying on that, you're going to sink. What does he say in one of his books? The very roof of the church will fall in on you. If you're relying on God is everywhere, God is omnipresent, and you're saying that to yourself, you're going to be in trouble. God is not everywhere. God is not anywhere in this Adam dream. If you're living in an Adam dream, God is nowhere. However, if you have the conscious awareness, the feeling of that transcendental presence, if you are not standing in a dream, if you're standing in your soul with conscious awareness, then for you, in your consciousness, God is omnipresent throughout your consciousness. And you feel it, experience it, and witness it. And anyone that turns to you, touches your consciousness, also experiences the fruitage of your conscious awareness. So God is not anywhere. God is only where God is consciously realized, or where you have the conscious awareness of God. And so a tree takes someone listening for it to make a sound. God takes someone's conscious awareness for it to be manifested. The function of Christ is to be that conscious awareness that the Father may manifest, as in heaven, so on earth. You must be that Christ. Thank you.